Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Meta Infotech Limited H2 FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitik Hyttengadi from Stellar IR Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Steve. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We have with us today the senior management team of Meta Infotech Limited, represented by Mr. Venugopal Perivi, Chairman and Managing Director, who will represent the call. Key operating and financial highlights for the second half and full year ended March 31, 2026, followed by a question and answer session. Please note this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of the company's future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. I now hand over the conference call to Mr. Venugopal Perivi, sir. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. We have uploaded the investor presentation on the website of the stock exchange, and we do hope that you have had a chance to go through it. Before we begin, as this is our only second earnings call as a listed company and there may be some new participants joining us today, let me briefly introduce Meta Infotech and provide an overview of our business. Meta Infotech is one of the leading cybersecurity solutions and service provider with over 25 years of industry experience, helping enterprises secure their digital infrastructure across critical sectors such as banking, capital markets, NBFCs, IT, manufacturing, and healthcare. The company offers end-to-end cybersecurity solutions spanning cloud security, identity security, network security, and a broad range of other solutions. With a detailed overview provided in the investor presentation, supported by partnerships with leading global cybersecurity OEMs. With a growing focus on high-margin cybersecurity services, a strong order book, and expanding presence across India, Meta Infotech is well-positioned to capitalize on the increasing demand for enterprise cybersecurity solutions. FY 2026 was a defining year as we strengthened the foundations for our next phase of growth for Meta Infotech as we made several strategic investments to build a stronger and more scalable cybersecurity platform for the future. Strengthened leadership team. We significantly enhanced our management strength by onboarding experienced industry veterans across key functions, including sales, business operations, and solution architects. These additions bring decades of domain expertise and position us well to scale our operations and deepen customer engagement. Invested in talent and technical capabilities. Our employee strength increased from 265 to 309 professionals during the year. More importantly, the proportion of employees possessing core technical expertise increased from around 50% to 90%, strengthening our ability to execute large and complex cybersecurity projects while supporting future growth. Expanded technology partnerships. We onboarded 12 new cybersecurity vendors during FY 2026, further strengthening our position as one-stop cybersecurity solution providers. This allow us to wider range of customer requirements by strengthening our existing capabilities across cloud security, SASE, EDR, and SIEM, while expanding into new solution areas such as AI security, micro-segmentation, patch management, cookie security, and post-quantum cryptography. We continue to strengthen our market presence beyond our traditional strongholds like Bombay. Along with our offices in Mumbai, we expanded our commercial presence into Delhi and increased our focus on growth markets such as Bangalore, Chennai, and Hyderabad, creating a wider platform for customer acquisition and business development. Pune will follow soon. Sharpening focus on services business. We continued our strategic shifts towards higher margin cybersecurity services, with the services contributing 35% of our FY 2026 earnings before interest and tax. This transition is expected to improve the quality of revenue, strengthen customer relationship, and support margin expansion over the medium term. talent development. Our in-house talent development platform continues to provide a reliable pipeline of trained cybersecurity professionals, helping improve retention, optimize hiring costs, and support scalable growth while maintaining high service standards. As a result of these initiatives and continued customer traction, our order book stood at 5.6 crore as of May 26, equivalent to approximately 1.9 times of FY26 revenue, providing stronger visibility of future growth. While these investments resulted in higher operating expenses during the year, they have significantly strengthened our organization capabilities, expanding our addressable market opportunity and position Meta Infotech for its next phase of sustainable growth. The impact of these strategic initiatives is already visible in our financial performance as we delivered our highest ever revenue in FY26. Revenue from operations grew 23% YOY to 270 crores in 26 and grew 72% YOY to 60 crores in H2 FY26. The growth is driven by strong execution of existing orders, healthy recurring revenues, increased customer engagements, and strong order flows across sectors and geographies. EBITDA stood at 18 crores in FY26 versus 25 crores in FY25 and stood at 2 crore in H2 26 versus 6 crore in 25. The business continued to generate healthy operating profits while profitability was moderated by strategic investments in leadership, talent acquisition, geographic expansion, new technology partnerships, and capability building across emerging cybersecurity domains to support the company's next phase of growth. PAT stood at 11 crore in FY26 compared to 14 crores in 25 and stood at 0.4 crore, that means 40 lakhs, FY26 versus 3 crore in 25, H2 25. Similar to EBITDA, profitability was impacted by growth investment made during the year, which we believe will support stronger revenue growth and operating leverage in the years ahead. Return ratios. Despite these investments, we continue to maintain a healthy capital efficiency of ROE of 15% and ROCE of 22% in FY26, reflecting the strength of our business model and disciplined capital allocation. Importantly, these investments were undertaken with long-term perspective and have strengthened our organization capabilities, expanded our addressable market opportunity, and enhanced our ability to capture a larger share of rapidly growing cybersecurity market. With an order book of 5.6 crore as of May 27, 26, equivalent to nearly 1.9 times of FY26 revenue, we believe we are well positioned to drive sustainable growth and improve profitability over the medium term. Reflecting our confidence in the opportunities ahead and the scalability of our business models, we have outlined an aspiration to grow profit after tax by up to 4x from FY26 levels to FY29. We believe this growth will be driven by our expanding presence across India and international markets, continued investments in talent and cybersecurity capabilities, a growing mix of high-value services, stronger customer relationship, alliances across globe, and increased recurring revenues. We are also sharpening our focus on high-margin, value-accretive opportunities by remaining selective in pursuing low-margin product-led engagements. While driving market penetration through next-generation cybersecurity capabilities, including AI, security, post-quantum cryptography, and operational technologies, which is OT security, combined with operating leverage and a disciplined focus on profitable growth, we are confident in our ability to create long-term value and build a stronger, more scalable cybersecurity business. Now we can open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Aniket Madhwani with Step Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Am I audible?
Yes. A bit low, but yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. So I just want to understand your pattern of revenue recognition. I mean, here I can see the second half generally dips in comparison of your first half. So if you could just highlight on that, I mean, how do you know bill your revenue?
See, this has been a very regular question, and this has been happening for the last couple of years. This is primarily because of one particular order, which is second largest deal in the world. I can't name the customer. No, it's a, of course, the vendor is Zscaler. So because of one particular large vendor, which is more than 100 crores, which comes in the first half, that's why my second half revenue dips because of one particular order. Okay. So that's the justification why my second half dips. Okay. Just purely because of one particular order, which is large in nature. Okay. And before people ask questions, let me also clarify a few things for points from my side. See, which is generic in nature. One is before the IPO was Meta 1.0 and after the IPO is Meta 2.0. Everything what we have done in the last 6 months in the H2, okay, that means in just in one statement, I would say to take a big leap, we have to take two steps back. Okay. So that's exactly what has happened with us in the last 6 months. IPO has helped Meta in acquiring good talent with ESOPs and other revenue, okay, on the package which we have defined for them. So that has helped us in acquiring these well-known industry specialist to join Meta for our future growth for the next 3 years. Okay. So whatever happened before IPO and what is going to happen after the IPO over the last 6 months, of course, there is a dip in overall revenue and stuff like that, which is conscious decision we have taken. Okay. And we have invested in, I've been always very vocal in saying that last year, the last 6 months was our last year, overall last year was our investment year for us. Because we have planned for next 3 years. We have big plans for next years. And all this, whatever my presentation is based on for the next 3 years. So we have created a foundation. We have created a platform to, for the next 3 years. Okay. We have created, the foundation is very, very strong before IPO and after IPO. The foundation is very, very clear, and this is our focusing. We are going to purely focus on for the next 3 years for a very, very high growth. So this is the base. This is the basis of our conversation. We can ask questions based on this.
Okay. Could you just clarify on what kind of investments and strategy you've made in last 6 months?
Okay. So the investment, what has happened, one is in... We were predominantly for 27 years, we were only Bombay-based company. Okay, in terms of sales, Bombay-based. And we have added Delhi, Bangalore, Chennai, Hyderabad. And we are soon going to add Pune as well, coming up, maybe a month or two. That is one. Geographical expansion we have added. We have added almost 40, 45 people, mostly on engineers and senior levels and mid-level and obviously junior levels in the last year. That is one in terms of people. And the third, we have we were with only associated with two vendors for almost 5 years. And we have seen a great growth in those two vendors. But going forward with the 3 years or 3 to 5 years of expansion, we can't work with only two vendors. So we have added about 8 focused vendors and 4 to 5 not focused vendors. It will be case-to-case basis. We have added 8 focused vendors. And when we add a vendor, it's not signing up an agreement. When we add an end of a vendor, that means we actually have minimum 10 people, certified guys, for that particular vendor or a solution. Then we go and talk to our customers. So that way we have added so many vendors in the last 6 months, or I would say entire over here, predominantly last 6 months. So geographically, we have added more number of locations. We have added more number of people, especially the management, very, very senior guys, which are with a range of 30 plus. We have close to three people who are close to 30 years experience. We have 2 people who are more than 15 years experience. We have also taken 2 other people who will be more than around close to 20 years of experience. So we'll have about 6 to 7 very high experienced guys in the under Meta. Okay, and yeah, that's these are the primary expansion we have done in the past.
And with all these expansions, what are you expecting for FY27?
See, one is my plan. Yeah, okay. It's a, okay. Is that the question?
Yeah.
Okay. So
just
I will,
want to add. I just want to add on one thing.
Yeah.
Here we can see the margins have contracted at operating level and
net level. Okay. The first thing, let me take the first question, first part of the question, which is what is you expecting this year? And so let me not talk about this particular year. Of course, I'm as a compliance, we can't throw numbers, but as in our presentation, we have given our 3-year expansion plan. Okay. 3-year PAT numbers, no, not numbers. In fact, the whatever the PAT we are expected to grow 4x in next 3 years, this including this financial year. So 3 financial years, this is what we are targeting. Okay. And it's not only in India, our expansion is also global, okay, which I'm personally involved in. We will be expanding in Gulf, Australia, APAC and US. Okay. So that is from the expansion side. And one more question is why our PAT has reduced, or one is there are 2 main factors. Okay. So one, I would say 3. So one is because of one of the large deals from the customer, because of dollar fluctuation and dollar conversion, we lost quite a couple of crores there. And I don't know if I can name use the numbers, but and then the Imperva, which we were 2 vendors with, we were partnered with, Imperva got sold to Thales. Okay, whenever there is a sale out, which happened in possibly in our lifetime, this is the first time it has happened, where Imperva, where we were the biggest partner for Imperva in APAC, that got sold to a company called Thales. Okay, so when that any sale happens across the world in IT especially, the existing team normally leaves the organization and joins some other company, and as a new team comes in because it's owned by now Thales. Okay, so that where we were doing clocking 8.5 crores of services revenue the previous year, 24-25, we actually did only 2 crores last year. And the commitment between Meta and the vendor was about 10 crores of PS revenue, professional services revenue. So which dropped down to 2 from 10 crores. So 8 plus 5, I mean, we lost about 10 to 11 to 12 crores, which we actually did a previous year. These are the numbers we were doing previously. And only last year it didn't happen. So we maintain, in spite of all these things, in spite of our investment in people, products, identifying vendors, expansion in other locations, we still, our gross profit was almost the same as 24-25. Our gross profit was 49 crores in 25-26 and 24-25. We maintain the same. If I add this, which is unexpected, which is not foreseen, we would have done a 62 crores of gross profit, and our PAT would have been close to a 20 crores, which is what we committed last time. But these were some unforeseen incidents which has happened, which rarely happens in the, and with the dollar conversion loss was only one time, and we are taking care of that for the future contracts and the expansion.
Okay.
All of which, and as I said, we want to take a very big leap. Okay. So so just before we take a big leap, we have to take 2 steps back. That's what exactly has happened, and it's seen in our balance sheet. And you will see the next 3 years is our very, very crucial year. We have created the foundation. All of you who are as part of this conference call, let me assure you, next 3 years is going to be the biggest year of in Meta. Biggest years of Meta, and what we have done in the last 27 years, the next 3 years will be completely different.
So you mean to say the Imperva was contributing on about 10 or so to your top line?
8.5 was what we did last year, and 10 crores was, of course, was expected between me. In fact, their commitment was 12 plus crores, but we expected 10 crores. And which couldn't happen, but this year will happen. We have a commitment now with Thales buying our Imperva. Now we are a partner for Thales and Imperva. So we are a global PS partners for Thales and Imperva. So we are expected to do projects. We are expecting projects from across the globe for these two. It's typically owner is Thales, but Imperva and Thales both together we are global partners now.
And what reason have you mentioned? For the 12 crores on the competitive side.
I'm not able to understand.
I just wanted to understand the reason behind the miss of 8 crores from this.
Reason behind the
8 crores miss.
I just said the company got. Yeah, the company got sold off. We did 8.5 crores previous year. The company got sold off. The team left. And the new team came in. It always is decision time, right? When the new team comes in, understanding the market, going to the market, generating that kind of business, it takes time. It takes normally one to 1.5 years, technically. This is what I have seen in other vendors as well. Okay, so that's the reason last year we could do only 2 crores of billing instead of 10 crores, and which was not new. We were doing clocking 8.5 crores previous year. So this is not new. So suddenly from 8.5 crores, logically nothing will fall to 2 crores unless there is a drastic change, and that drastic change was company being sold to Thales. That is a disadvantage, but like the advantage is now we have Thales in our kitty. Now we are global partners or global services partners for Thales and Imperva.
So the business is on track right now, or should we expect late in this year as well?
This year, I'm not coming. I'm not expecting 10 crores. We are definitely expecting around 6 to 7 crores from Imperva and about 3 crores from Thales. We're still expecting 10 crores overall, but like in Imperva, we will do about between 6 to 7 crores. But Thales, since we are partners for Thales as well, PS partners, we are expecting about 3 crores from Thales.
So eventually there is a dip. I mean, we were clocking around 8 crores.
Yes, there is a dip. That's a fact, and we are not hiding the fact.
Okay. Yeah.
But from 2 vendors, we have 10 vendors now. We have literally PS partners, professional services partners, with 4 more vendors and 2 more we are going to sign as PS partners, professional services partners. For people who doesn't understand what PS partners means, that means globally or in India, wherever they sell their product and the partner doesn't have a capabilities, which normally 90% of the partners don't have the capabilities, then they take the project of implementation and then they offload those projects to Meta. Where we have not sold the licenses, but we get the services revenue. We get the services revenue from the vendor. Right, so that is called PS partner, and the services revenue, which like implementation revenue, which we get directly from the customer, that is separate business.
Okay, and so I just want to understand about the business going forward. So as you said, you've added around 8 focus vendors and 4 to 5 non-focus vendors
right
in the last 6 months. So where do you see this business going forward in FY27, FY28? What top line we are expecting
top
to block and the margins are seen very unstable in recent years. If you say in March 2023, it was around 9% of EBITDA margins, which has dropped to 7% in this year. So if you could just highlight where we can see stable margins.
See, what we are going forward in my presentation itself, I mentioned that we are going to drop all the product low cost or low revenue or low profit margin product business. Going forward, we already started the operations. Anything which is less than 5%, we are going to drop. Those product, we will not do product, we will rather do services. Okay, so because of this one particular order, of course large order, we are PAT percentage and EBITDA percent, not EBITDA percentage, I would say PAT percentage is reduced big time. Minus that, it is suggested by a lot of investors and all that, minus that, if I don't take that, my PAT percentage will increase more than 10%. Okay, So that's how, and then this is one major decision we have taken internally, apart from all the expansion plans and all that, which I've spoken earlier. This is, again, a very serious step and a major step we have taken, that we will not do any product revenue business, okay, which is anything less than 6%. And now we are focusing any product revenue which we are going to do, it has to be between 9%-10%. That's the strategic decision we have taken. And we have informed this to our vendors as well.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Aniket, I would request you to please come back in the queue for further questions. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pushkar Jain with Millie Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. About the cybersecurity, on the cybersecurity front, are we capturing any opportunities related to AI, you know, the counter threats, which are posed by AI, or what is your outlook, or in future, do we plan to get into the segment?
See, we are getting into AI security. This is a new areas which we are, which is quantum, AI security, OT security. This is the next generation security. AI is only helping the cybersecurity business worldwide. AI, with AI coming in, there are a lot of good and a lot of bad things, okay? Especially in cybersecurity for the customers, it's much easier for you and I to become, to hack into a, you know, a competitive companies or any company. It's become much easier. Okay, AI is helping normal people like you and I to, you know, intrude into any system across the world, right? So with that scare, customers are investing more, especially on services. See, buying product is just one part. You can buy a product, but if you're not using the product to the optimal level, it has no use, right? So on the services, the focus on services, and willing customers are willing to pay as much amount as possible for the services in India. Outside of India, definitely it was there long time. AI is helping us our growth. So that's why we are very, very upbeat about for next 3 years growth. And currently,
yeah.
India market itself is about 6 to 7 billion. And India market is growing up from around 15% to 18% year on year.
Right. So what is the revenue target that you have in mind, you know, in say next 2-3 years?
See, as I said, my focus will be purely on services and bottom line. Okay. We will focus on product, which is high margin products. And our main focus would be completely on services, international business. We are signing up. As I said, we have also, apart from our location, geographical location expansion, product, vendor expansion and all that, we are also looking at tying up with alliances. Okay. We are open all these years. We never had alliances. So we have opened up our doors or windows to work with other companies across the globe in partnership with them to share businesses. We will share, they will buy services what we are expert in, and we can buy services what they are expert in. So the that is something which we are working on. And as and when it is finalized, we will definitely, sorry, this is apart from...
No, no, like, could you help us with some numbers, like revenue growth that you are targeting?
See, that's it. You know? I will talk about the PAT, which I've, which has mentioned, which is there, which is 4x. We are looking at the PAT in next 3 years. Thus, I was told, as a, due to compliance issues, we can't obviously give numbers. And my focus, our focus will be purely on bottom line, not on the top line. That is again...
In this quarter, we saw like the trading revenue, like David. So is this the direction going forward, that we should not model trading revenues, we should only model service revenues?
Trading revenue is important. We will be there. But as I said, we will not accept any trading revenue with low margins. But services revenue will grow. That's, see, our focus has been services from the last 10 years, or 25 years actually. From 2000 year 2000, we have shifted from a trading company to a solutions and services company. Okay, so that focus has been there. Just because of one particular order, which is very high value in nature, that's why we don't see that kind of percentage PAT or percentage services revenue.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Pushkar, does that answer your question?
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for asking the question, yeah.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Sharda with Hem Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, one of my question, like, what kind of, like, you are saying again and again that we are focusing on the service now. So what kind of service product mix can be seen in FY 2027 and FY 2028? Like, what kind of mix? Like, currently, I think your service mix is around 13% of the total revenue. So what kind of mix can we see in next two, three years?
You can, if on 13%, if I reduce my focus on the product top line, definitely on a lower side, it will be 25%. On a higher side, it will be anything. Anything above 25% will be very high. I mean, around 50%, we will increase our revenue. This year, we want to focus, as I said, you know, we want to focus on a PAT percentage. We want to work on our services percentage as against the revenue, total revenue.
No. So you are saying, like, for FY 2027, we can see 25% of the revenue coming from service, right? What I can
Yes.
understand.
Yes, yes, you can.
And this
25% growth.
No, I'm not saying growth. Like, I am saying about the revenue contribution.
Okay, overall 25%. I'm saying, no, I was talking about the growth as against the services revenue, which we did, which is 36 crores last year.
Got it. So you
So our
You are saying that
36 crores, right? So we are, our minimum increase in terms of percentage increase from last year's services revenue will increase by 25% minimum.
Okay. Sir, actually, I'm asking about the mix. Like, currently, our service revenue was flat this year. Last year it was 35%, and this year is 36%. So this year, the service revenue contributes 13% of the overall revenue, right?
Correct.
So what, like, if we are focusing on service revenue only, so we are, like, what kind of mix we are aiming for FY 2026, 2027, 2028, from 13% to-
Should
Yes.
Okay, I got your answer. Okay.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So between 13-25 range, you can expect.
13-25. So it's a big, I mean, like, 13% is currently. Oh, okay.
No, I'm saying over a period of 3 years, this is where we want to achieve 25-30. Okay, but 13, it might go maybe next year,  18, 20, and then, you know, we'll add 5-6% every year.
Got it. Got it. So gradually, we'll be moving towards 25%-30% in this.
Correct. That is what our focus is. Because we are going to reduce the low margin, high product revenue.
Right. Right. So gradually we'll be moving to 25% to 30% of revenue coming from service side.
Correct.
And that's what we are targeting, like 4x of PAT in FY 2029.
Over a period of years, yes.
Over a period of years.
You're right. Yeah.
Okay. So my next question would be about the order book. Like, you said that 506 is the order book, so what is the overall execution period of this order book?
This is next 3 years.
Okay, this 506 crore order book will be for next 3 years?
Correct.
And sir, this, like, one of the largest order that you said, one of the largest, this 100 crore revenue comes in H1. And, for
Correct.
How, like, till when it will last, this 100 crore order?
Next 3 years.
For next 3 years?
Another 3 years, yes.
For next 3 years, we'll be seeing 100 crore definitely from this order.
That is definite. We have a contract, but given a choice, I would not take that order. Given a choice.
But you have a contract for this thing?
We have a contract. I'm given a choice. I mean, I was because that will help us increase our, you know, services percentage, PAT percentage, a lot of other percentage.
Okay.
And
then what kind of
I'm told by a lot of investors, finally, I've been talking to so many of them, because this has been suggested by a lot of investors. Yeah, so that is actually hurting us.
But sir, what I can see, like, our product margin, if we, like, go towards your segmental breakup, the product margin in H1 was around 8.2%, the product EBIT margin.
Right.
In H1, you got 8.2% of product margin. That's good, like, when this 100 crore order was executed. In H2, this margin is negative. Like, our product, basically, I want to say that our product business has generated loss in H2. So what was the key reason for this loss? Why is this loss?
Okay. So H2, I seriously have to go to see the numbers. I don't know, Paresh, are you there? Do you have answers for this?
No issue, sir. We can discuss this later again.
No, separately because I just have to get in.
No issue, sir. Another thing about Another thing, sir. I just want to ask about the PAT margin. Like you mentioned that you are targeting a 4x of PAT in 3 years. So currently our PAT margin is around 4%. So what kind of PAT? I understand that you are not giving guidance for next 2 years because you are focusing on profitability. So like, can you just give a color on how, what kind of EBITDA margins and PAT margins we'll be clocking in next 2-3 years, or what we are aiming for?
See, overall at end of FY 2028-29 is what I have mentioned. Okay, margins. When I said PAT margins or PAT, we are given a 4x value, right? The value, not the margins. But yes, our PAT margins will increase by more than 10%.
By more than 10%, like current PAT margin is 4%.
Correct. Our target is to increase it to 10% plus.
Okay, so that is 600 bits of jump.
Remove this big order, my PAT margin is more than 10%. See, this big order contributes to less than 5% of my bottom line and, you know, 60% on the top line. Minus that, my PAT margin as such increases because your, you know, PAT margin is calculated based on the revenue. Right. Okay. That's what I said. So we have good and bad things about this particular large deal.
Okay. Okay. So I understand, sir. Like you are saying 4x of PAT in FY 2029. So that will be like currently we are on a PAT of 11 CR. So we are targeting 40 to 45 CR of PAT in FY 2029. So this growth will be gradual. Yeah. Yeah, sir.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Is this understanding correct?
Yes.
40 to 45 CR we are targeting in FY 2029, right?
Yeah, I don't know if the compliance okay.
No, no, sir. You mentioned that it is around number. Yeah, exactly. You mentioned that 4x, so it is coming around 40 to 45. That I am giving a bracket. Yeah. So, sir, this growth will be gradual growth or some of the year like FY 2028 or 2029. What kind of growth? Like, is this a gradual growth from there, or some year will see a?
Because I can't jump from 10 to 40 in 1 year. Okay, so it will be gradual. Okay, I mean, I'm because compliance are, I don't know how strict the compliances are. So it will be gradual growth for sure. You will see that year on year.
Yes, sir. Actually, I'm not asking the numbers. Just we also want to, like, we are as an investor, we want to understand how the business will grow. That's why just a ballpark number.
Ballpark figure. So, I mean, percentages, if I have to look at logically 3 years, you know, 30 crores divided by 3 is 7 crores each year. Increase.
So I understand, like, from 10 to maybe we'll be jumping to 15, 16, then maybe from 20, 25, then 30. This kind of.
Because this is our first year of our new foundation, right? Meta 2.0. So, this year, for example, I'm just giving a hypothetical numbers. I'm just for understanding. If I do 10 years, so I will obviously increase to 12 next year and possibly 16 or 14 or 16 next year and third year. So that's how. It will not be 10, 10, 10. It will be 10, 12 and possibly 15 with a growth of 20% year on year.
But we have to, sir, jump to 40. So our growth must be very...
Of course. That's what I'm saying. But to take a big leap. See, I can't give you all the details what's happening in Meta, right?
Right.
No. Compliance state and, you know, I'm sure...
So
we, this is a consideration, and all the investors I've met, even, you know, during, even before my, you know, numbers, which were disclosed, I've been telling them, this is my investment year. Last year is my foundation year. Okay. And IPO has helped us mainly in acquiring good talents, senior talents, which we couldn't do it earlier.
Got it. So basically, can we assume that, is this the safe assumption that most of our strategic investments have been done in FY 2026?
Yes.
So we should see a good turnaround from next year onwards.
This year.
Or still, yeah. I mean, this FY 2027 onwards.
This year, yeah. 26 to 29, you'll see. All the results.
We can see. Most of the strategic investments have been done, right?
Correct. All done.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you, sir, for your
response. As I said, you know, I have taken 6 senior guys. One more to join. Okay, we are not closed. One we have closed just yesterday.
Okay.
6 senior guys who are at high, who are minimum 15 years of experience, 17 years, I would say, between 70 to 33 years of experience. We have taken 6 such people, which never happened in the history of Meta.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for the responses and all the best for the coming time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Lakshmi Narayan KG with Tunga Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just want to understand how many employees we have on rolls right now and how did it expand in the last 1 year? And subsequently, what kind of employee growth you envisage for the coming year?
Okay.
And I understand that we actually have provide cybersecurity related training and infrastructure so that people can get themselves certified, and that's a good funnel for us to improve our quality of people. Just want to understand, are we setting up more such centers where you can actually train people? Because we always hear that the country is in dearth of good quality cybersecurity experts.
Correct.
I just want to understand your thoughts.
I understand. So there are two parts of this question. One, let me take the first part. Okay, we were 265 March 25. Okay, we are 308 or 309. I think I'm not getting the number. So March 26. Okay, and we are expecting by March 27 we should be minimum of 350, between 350 to 375. Ideally, I feel as per my the kind of prospects we have, the projects which we are working on, we should be around 370 to 375 this year. Okay. That is one from the number of employees. Okay. And secondly, as you said, there is the global demand and supply, and the gap is about 70%. So for every 10 engineers the world needs, we have only 3. And that gap is increasing. It's not even decreasing. It's increasing. It's not the kind of talent which the industry is creating worldwide. Even in India, being the IT capital of the world, even in India, the gap is still the same. And outside of India, it's the worst. Okay, it's worse than even 70% of the gap. So one is we are creating. There are two ways of, we are our talent acquisition or maybe talent augmentation is happening. One is through our own training centers based out of Bombay and Hyderabad, which we take, we scrutiny, we filter out people, freshers, and we train them for 3 months. This is a paid training, by the way. We are the only ones possibly definitely in India. I'm not sure about the world, but again, we train them, we charge them to train, to get trained, and after 3 months, they join Meta. And when they join Meta, they are trained resources because we have trained them. We know exactly their strengths and weaknesses. So within 3 months, after joining Meta, within 3 months, they are trained at the customer side, and most of the customers are enterprise customers, so they work in very complex environment. So they any engineer normally who would take about two years to learn certain technologies or customer experience, they would do it in the next 3 to 6 months in Meta. So, and they start, they become billable within 3 months of joining. So overall 6 months of experience trained by us, they become billable. So that's how we are, that is one way of resource augmentation. And second, we are also taking from institutes like Jet King. We tried Jet King last year and we really got good resources, okay, at very low cost and for long term, like a 3 year bond. Okay, so we are increasing. I mean, we can't train 100 engineers through our training centers, but we also have, we'll have a combination.
And what kind of attrition do you face, attrition, and because there is a lot of critical work you do.
Correct.
So, and therefore, your talent is also superior, I understand. So,
correct.
What kind of attrition you face and how do you kind of mitigate it?
See, the attrition is very high. The industry standard attrition is 25 to 40%. Okay. Us, I think last year is about close to, I would say, less than 20% actually. But this we know from the day one. Okay. So what we do is we always have anything between 15 to 25 people on bench. So the moment someone completes 3 years in Meta, okay, and those who are little vulnerable, we replace them. For example, they are in one particular project, we always find we always give one engineer with 1 year's experience to that guy, considering that he might leave because he becomes very demand. I mean, he's in demand in the market. So maybe I would say maybe 30% might leave because competitive company or any other company is willing to pay them 100% hike or 50% hike, which we don't. Okay, so we always, the moment they do complete 3 years, we, the vulnerable candidates, which we know we can realize, we kind of, we understand. And we make a backup for him. So we send one guy to him where he will train one or two guys. Minimum one guy he has to train. And he'll be moved out of the project. For example, he's one particular project in the last, working for the last 3 years. So we give him a replacement. He's supposed to train that guy and move out of the project. And then we, if in case he stays back, then we give them a bigger project. Okay, that's how we mitigate. And we don't keep any, I won't say it's not a policy, but anybody who demands 50% hike or 100% hike after 3 to 4 years, on an average Meta, anybody joining Meta will work earlier, it used to be 4.5 to 5 years. Now it's about, I would say, that on average is 3.5 to 4 years. Okay, so that's the highest in cybersecurity, by the way. So they get into the package of 12 to 18, 18 lakhs or 20 lakhs. So we let them go. After 3 years or 4 years, ideally 4 years, we let them go. And we replace them. Instead of paying them 1.18 lakh package, we will replace them with a 7 to 8 lakh guy. So we mitigate them in terms of replacing that guy with another guy, which is maybe 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 of that guy capabilities. Within, it takes about 3 months to get into that kind of category. And we also we also maintain our cost by replacing a very senior guy or a senior guy with a junior guy.
Got it.
All projects are backed by, see, we have 3 levels of technical engineers, 3 levels. If one guy leaves or one guy falls sick or any emergency, he's replaced by another guy. For every 3 engineers we provide to the customer, we have 1 extra engineer at the customer side. This is 1 extra engineer, junior engineer, he's sitting and working at the customer side for any replacement in the future. So for if I get a contract for 10 engineers, we normally will have 2 to 3 engineers extra at the customer side at no cost. This will help us, as I said, mitigate any attrition or any leave, okay, so that the customer is not affected and we are also not affected and we keep our cost low.
But, another observation is that we have done pretty well in terms of our revenue growth as well as reasonable in terms of a profit growth. But the cash flow conversion has been a little muted, right? And it's been a thing even last year, even if I exclude the tax payment, right? Now, is it a structural thing or is it, you know, one has to look at a cash flow in a different way, like you need to look at the September cash flow because you said there is a spike in the first half or second half, right? Just want to understand how one should look at it because the profit before tax is not somehow reflecting on the cash flow from operations pre-tax.
I would bring in Paresh. Paresh, are you there? I don't know why he's not connected. Please, I'll get my CFO.
No problem. We can.
No. We don't need to skip. No. We will take this.
Hello.
Answer because yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, he's there.
Hello.
Should I repeat the question, Paresh?
Yeah, I'm audible.
Yeah, you're audible, Paresh. So I'll repeat it. So I see that the company has done pretty well in terms of revenue growth and reasonably in terms of profit growth also. But it is not translating, or at least the way in which I see the cash flow statement PBT, right? So, is this a structural thing? One has to look at it in a different way, or this is a passing thing? You know, there is a, what are the steps you are taking to improve this conversion?
Yeah. Yes, I can understand your question. See, operating cash flow is negative because there is two things. Mainly, just one thing is that tax payment of around.
No, I'm looking at pre-tax cash flow from operations so that it becomes. So this year it's around 3 crores and last year it was minus 7.
Pre-cash cash flow will be positive because if you will see, there is an inventory of around 20 CR at the March. Okay. So it will get sold in the mostly in the April. Okay. So this cash flow will be. Just a moment. Yeah. So inventory will be positive.
Okay. So saying that this is essentially like a timing issue and it will get resolved. I mean, that's how you look at it.
Yes.
In fact, it has been resolved.
Okay. Fine. This is helpful. And third, see, I just want to understand in terms of how the channel, how the entire supply works, right? So you have a Zscaler, and then Zscaler, you directly buy it from Zscaler, or there is somebody in between a Zscaler, like a Redington or iValue or a PrivX in between, or Zscaler or Bluecoat or Impera, whomever you.
So,
How does it work?
Yeah. So for Zscaler, we are the privileged partner because we are the topmost partner for Zscaler. So we buy directly from them. So there is no distributor in between.
Okay. Okay. But for Imperva?
Imperva, we buy from a local distributor. We don't have a direct relationship with Imperva.
Okay. So when you actually tie up these distributors, I mean, you talked that you have moved from two or three to even more, right? So when you work, is it that you would do like the Zscaler type of relationship that you directly deal, or how does it work and what is
Zscaler? See, Zscaler is one exception case, frankly, because we were one of the earlier partners. Okay, so those days, the concept was to buy directly from them. Okay, for the first three, it was for many custom partners initially, not many, I would say, who were signed up then. After that, they restricted to only three partners, the large partners, and the rest, everybody has to buy from a distributor, local distributor. So going forward with other vendors, mostly we will be buying locally in INR.
Okay, so there'll be a vendor in between you and the OE.
Mostly, that has been that's the trend. That's normally the concept worldwide. It is not only India or Meta focus, but it's a worldwide strategy.
So
There is a distributor.
who are those large distributors who sit between the vendors and you? Just to hear a sense of who are those.
We buy from Mtek, we buy from iValue, because earlier we were only dealing with two vendors, right? I mean, two vendors. So we had one direct vendor we are buying and one indirect vendor, which is through Mtek and iValue.
Okay. And
Going forward with other new vendors which we have signed up, I mean, I'm sure we will be working with their preferred distributors locally.
okay. And I think you talked about expanding outside India. I mean, maybe in Middle East or Bangladesh or other SAARC countries. Can you just elaborate on your business? How are you thinking about it outside India in terms of your own mind share? How much you are spending in India, how much is outside India, and what is the prospects there? Just to get us structurally, we get it.
So, good question actually. Because see, internationally, as mentioned in our BRHP, we have associated company in Dubai and Australia, which is run by my brothers. Okay, they are also in the same industry for the last 25 years plus. Okay, so we are working with them. So they have their sales team in these two locations, Dubai or Gulf being the biggest. They have sales organization, and they have been supported by us. So we provide services support for them. So they do the sales, and we do the services for them. So that's, and then we bill them as and when we do our services for them. Yeah. So Dubai has, we are actually currently running three projects in Dubai. In the last 2 months, I think we have picked up three. One being quite big, it's a 3-year contract. And likewise, we are, I see a great growth in Gulf coming up. Australia is still here too, because the two vendors which we are dealing with doesn't have that kind of presence, much presence in Australia. But with the other six, eight vendors, focused ones, we will obviously, our mind share or maybe our revenue from Australia business will definitely increase. So as of now, it's almost zero, but we want to develop, and I'm traveling to U.S. to develop the U.S. market. As I said, the alliances will happen. We have opened our doors for alliances, so it will be global as well as India. Even in India, we'll work with local partners, big partners, as an alliance to increase our revenue and share our services.
And can you just help me understand what your customer concentration? So if you look at your revenue, what would be the in the top one or top three customers to contribute?
Not customers. As I said, my one toppest customer is one of the banking private, the largest private bank. Okay. But that was my past. Okay. So going forward, as I said, my H1, H2, this is what we want to achieve. It should be 50-50%, contributes to 50-50%. All that I'm saying right now, I'm talking about the bottom line. Okay. I'm not talking about the top line. But because that will be our focus going forward. That has been our focus anyway, but because of certain large orders, I mean, the percentage doesn't show, but our focus has always been services. Okay. So what was the question, actually? Can you repeat that question, please?
No, I mean, my question is that I think you mentioned in your DRHP that there is a banking customer concentration.
Oh, yeah.
And
so
also there is a
BFSI. Yeah. See, huh, yeah, the, I just...
I think just to be clear, right? So within BFSI,
yeah.
There is a client and so I just want to understand what is the contribution of that number one client? And then if you look at the top three and top five clients who contribute to your top line, or whichever way you define, or maybe an operating profit, right? Because most of it is a pass-through revenue, I guess, right? If you can just help me understand your concentration.
See, last year, my top line, I guess, one of the banks has given us about almost 50%, 50-55%.
FY26.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that is a low margin, top line, high revenue business. Okay. And the rest, everything, all our customers, the range is drastic. Right. So all the other customers are less than 10 crores.
Okay.
One customer is 100 crores plus. Okay. So then it's 10 crores. Which is more common is 10 crores generally. Okay. But it's one of customers which we got the order which is 100 crores plus, but doesn't happen in the history of India. Okay. So that was one of the largest deals in the history of India. Indian companies. Okay. So that's the range. And the services, yes, we are doing quite a good amount of services with many other customers. Like in ICICI Bank, we have about 60 people ICICI Bank overall. And the group is about almost 85 to 90. And then Axis, we have about 56, I guess, yeah. And that, IDFC, we have about 32. So we are placing big numbers. So that's what I said. Our employee growth from 300 to we should touch about 370 this year.
Just one last question. If I just look at your balance sheet, you know, the cash levels are, I think it's less than 5 crores if I'm not wrong. And you have, both, I think, long-term loans and short-term loans. I just want to understand what is your, do you intend to take more money through equity, or you intend to have higher debt? What is the thought process?
No, because I don't think we need any extra money. Okay, for our growth, trust me, we didn't even have to go to IPO for our expansion. This was anyway part of it. Okay, so that's because of the dollar conversion, so the billing has not happened. For example, the 100 crore billing happened in April from the vendor, but we billed it in September towards the end. Okay, then another deal from the same company, we were billed in September, October, and then we billed in April too.
How do you handle the forex fluctuations? Because the customer would have, or your end, let's say a bank, which is an ICICI or somebody would have locked up their price, and there is a fluctuation. Who would bear? Like you would bear because there is a delay between you billing and you getting the money, right? So how do you
keep it? I got it. So one is the first 2 years. For example, I take this by a large deal. Okay, the first 2 years it was stable. Okay, we were charging them at 85, and then it was less than 85. Suddenly last year it went up to 88, 89, 87, 88. Okay. So, and since it was not mentioned, even though our proposal mentioned spot plus 2, and it was not mentioned in their PO, and then we had to execute that PO 3 years back, and we had to take special approval from the management, adding, on the spot plus, a spot rate. Okay, to change the terms. Okay, so it was not, in the PO, if you look at it, is only dollar mentioned, dollar cost was mentioned, not INR cost. So INR cost was variable. But since it was not mentioned and we were fighting for spot plus 2, they had to take special approval. It took about 6 months to take the approval, and then finally we got the approval and when we built it. So now going forward, okay, so all our contracts is you know, conversion agnostic. So customers, we are signing up as spotless too.
Got it.
Got it. Does that answer your question? So we have taken care of that because there was a drastic change from 85 to 88, 89 suddenly. Okay, so going by and with the war situation and everything, we have changed our strategy, and it's been a policy that we will charge spotless too. So it, there won't be any fixed INR mentioned. Okay, even if there's an INR dollar or INR rate today, and if it is a 3-year contract, we are going to say based on the dollar fluctuation for the next next year or next 2 years, we will, the dollar rate today is, for example, 95, and if the dollar rate is 100 tomorrow, 1 year later, we will charge them at 100 plus 2, 102. So which will be mentioned in the proposal and the PO.
Yeah, Paresh, one question for you. So Paresh, just one question for Paresh. You know, yes, I just look at in the assets, there is a loans of around 13.8 crores. So what are these? You know, this is loans to, because it sits in the assets. I just want to understand what are these.
So you are saying loans for long term, right?
No, in the under the asset side or the balance sheet, it's there is the loans of around 138 million or 13.8 crores.
Yes.
Just a moment. Hello.
Yeah.
Just want to understand
what is it's advance for the property purchase, and some is security deposit, and some is advance to employees.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for asking the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Am I supposed to say something? Is this for me? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Oh, okay. See, as I said, thank you for, first of all, joining in and spending your valuable time for the last almost an hour now, and a little more than that. But yeah, good questions, and I was very happy to answer those questions because, as I said, let me conclude this thing. Whatever happened in the last year has been my investment year. Okay, that is very clear. I was very vocal from the day one. Okay, and then, and there are certain unforeseen situations like the conversion, which we have taken care of this one time, and we are taking care of for the in the future, and the, you know, sale of Imperva has impacted our numbers. Otherwise, overall we were doing well. In spite of all these setbacks and all that, we still maintained our gross profit last year, which I am personally happy about. And more than that, more than the numbers, what I am happy about is I could attract good, really good talents, veterans. From the industry, especially cybersecurity, in all the locations, especially Bombay. Okay, I was very happy in acquiring these guys, and we have created a very strong foundation. We have also, I'm very personally happy that we could open our operations in all these locations, and I'm personally going to handle the international market. So I'm very, very upbeat. Past is past. Anyway, I can't change the past, but going forward, I'm very, very confident about the next 3 years. Someone asked me, what about 3 or 5 years? Well, I don't want to talk something in air. I have a visibility for next 3 years and the plan for next year, and we have created the foundation for that. And in fact, I think most of the senior guys have joined. I don't think we need anyone else more. Of course, I mean, the situation demands, we'll bring them into the system, but the kind of technology we wanted to be in. Okay, so we have enough resources now at the senior management level. That is what is will drive our business. And juniors will keep continuing. We intend to add about 15 juniors every year. That's how we will reach to the number which we are committed in terms of PAT. So we are very, very upbeat about these 3 years. So hang on, believe in us. And my request is just stay with us for the next 3 years, and you will definitely see that. I'm not saying that you will see the result only end of 3 years, but you'll see every year on year going forward. That's our promise.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions? I can take it, or maybe I can always take it one to one later.
No, sir. There are no further questions in the queue.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Meta Infotech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.